We have a guest, possibly our farthest away guest, I think. Very esteemed colleague from California. Would you be good enough to introduce yourself?
Thanks, Jonathan. Glad to be here. I'm Dr. Lawrence Brown. My friends call me LB, so you may see me on the web as LB Brown. But I'm the Associate Dean for Student Affairs at Chapman University School of Pharmacy. I'm a tenured full professor. My background is obviously pharmacy as a PharmD, and I have a PhD in social administrative pharmacy with a specialty in consumer perception of pharmacists. I guess a little bit about my background, how I kind of got where I am today, kind of goes back to 1985 when I started as a pharmacy technician in the United States Air Force, which I did for 6 years before realizing I loved pharmacy so much that I would get out and go to pharmacy school, which I did, and then go on to do my PhD. And as they say, the rest is history. I was on faculty at the University of Tennessee School of Pharmacy or College of Pharmacy for 10 years before coming out to Chapman in 2013 to help start this new school, become one of the beacons of pharmacy schools in California.
Wow, excellent career so far, and plenty still to go, I'm sure. I mean, that's a little bit, but yeah, I'm really interested in just selfishly delving into what pharmacy's like in America, because you're based in California, of course. Tell me about retail pharmacy and a little bit about that first.
Right. So retail pharmacy is still thriving, although, of course, with reimbursement being a challenge, they're trying to reinvent themselves with adding in more patient care services. We've had immunizations and flu shots within retail pharmacy, or as we call community pharmacy, since the 90s, and that's expanded to some medication therapy management services. And then there's some pharmacies that are getting into travel medicine. Nationally, we used to have about 70% of our pharmacists were in community pharmacy. Now that's down, I believe, to around 60% because there's been so many new areas of pharmacy that have come about outside of the community pharmacy.
Okay, fascinating. So, what other sectors are there? I take it there's a vibrant hospital sector, perhaps, and maybe some new ones coming on the go. Would that be fair to say?
Yes, that's fair to say. Hospital is probably the second largest area, in addition to pharmacists who work in the insurance companies and managed care companies. But we've had expansion of pharmacists into government within our FDA, which is the Food and Drug Administration, the organization that approves drugs in the U.S., within the CDC, which I think everyone knows, the Center for Disease Control, as well as our Medicare and Medicaid agencies. But I think what we find is pharmacists are getting a lot more entrepreneurial. And so you're finding pharmacists who are starting up their own disease management companies where they have a team of pharmacists that work for them, and they contract with various medical groups to provide care for chronic disease patients. And then we also have a growing area of pharmacists who are embedded within a medical group or within an accountable care organization or a transitions of care organization where they're, again, helping to manage chronic care patients. And within California and a couple other states, the pharmacists are actually able to prescribe in those environments. Which is kind of new for us outside of the military and the Veterans Administration. To be able to have pharmacists prescribe, write prescriptions is pretty exciting. It's still pretty small right now, but that number is growing.
Very interesting. I'm a big advocate of prescribing, I guess, in the UK, and well, I practice in Scotland. prescribing is becoming more widespread, and certainly the funding streams from government here to back that up are fueling that direction. Quite some interesting similarities, but we always say on this side of the Atlantic that, or we often say that, you know, trends tend to originate in the States. So it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting to hear for me that there's an entrepreneurial air around. I do feel that. I do feel that in England, particularly in the retail sector, the government is squeezing the traditional funding for supply of medicines. So I guess you could say that they're asking questions of what we call community pharmacists to kind of come up with some of those innovative business cases that you describe. And also, I noticed you mentioned, you know, pharmacists working in within medical groups. So the equivalent here would be, I guess, GP practices or general practice, where we're beginning to work more as part of the multidisciplinary team. So some similarities there. And does a lot of our practice over here is underpinned by the concept of pharmaceutical care, you know, Hepler and Strand. Does does that figure heavily in your work? I know that's a broad sort of area, but does that concept still cut through to practice?
It does, and I only chuckle because, you know, the pharmaceutical care conversation in the U.S. Has been one that's so fascinating over the years. You should know, I did my PhD at University of Minnesota back when Linda Strand was still a professor there. So I was trained in pharmaceutical care by Linda Strand, and also did my dissertation work on some pharmacists who were providing pharmaceutical care. And so I definitely am one of the converts, but then also in the United States, the term pharmaceutical care kind of got supplanted by medication therapy management or comprehensive medication management. Most pharmacists, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's absolutely fascinating. Carry on. Yeah.
So most pharmacists consider them to be pretty much the same when you talk about the processes in terms of the systematic process of reviewing a patient's meds to make sure they're needed, that they're the most effective, the most safe, and most convenient. So that process is well embedded within pharmacy practice in the United States. And in fact, just a couple of years ago, the American Pharmacists Association, which I'm a prior president of, worked on a document and has published a document on basically the kind of pharmacist care process, which has the pharmaceutical care, medication therapy management, you know, components of it, you know, as the central part of it. So basically, to answer your question, yes, pharmaceutical care is kind of spread throughout the United States. It's just not called pharmaceutical care. And, you know, in a side discussion, I can explain why we moved away from the term pharmaceutical care to medication therapy management. But the short answer is medication therapy management is a lot more understandable to lay people than pharmaceutical care was as a term. It just took too much conversation to help them understand what it was that we wanted to do.
Okay. No, I'm fascinated again. I mean, I didn't know that. I didn't know that term existed in the US. And I think I think the term management is completely unsexy. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder if the term pharmaceutical care could, and I've floated this idea in some quarters, you know, should we be using the term pharmaceutical management a bit more in light of the fact that in the UK particularly, pharmacists are starting to close the loop? I mean, you know, in my practice as a prescriber, I see, I do medicines reconciliations from hospital, but then I also see differentiated and undifferentiated diagnoses of patients who have both long and short-term conditions. And I know there was a follow-up element to the notion of pharmaceutical care, but I'm not sure in dispensing practice that ever really landed. But now with mm-hmm. with prescribing and the fact that we're sort of managing patients in inverted commas, I wonder, is that actually a more useful term? Don't know. Maybe you could fill me in on your expertise. I mean, I am interested.
Right. Well, I mean, if you ask me what the differences might be between pharmaceutical management and medication management, it's, you know, purely a term because, you know, on this side of the pond, you know, medications are pharmaceuticals. And because there's such a, let us say, challenge with the pharmaceutical industry and people's perception of the pharmaceutical industry, at least in the United States, you know, that was another problem with pharmaceutical care, is because a lot of patients assumed it was something from the pharmaceutical companies and thus didn't trust it. So maybe it's the perceptions of drug companies are different over in the UK, or maybe they're not called pharmaceutical companies, maybe they're called drug companies. And so the term doesn't have the same kind of stigma as it would in the United States. But I have, I have heard, because I travel a lot for FIP meetings, and I've heard different countries use medicines management as opposed to medication management. So, you know, they're all very similar.
Okay, very interesting. It's interesting to see how pharmacies developed in other countries, I think, and how the I wonder how much influence we have on each other, really, and whether the development is by luck or by design. We could talk about that all night.
Yeah.
So I've been warned not to give the game away, Professor Brown. So you're coming to speak at the Pharmacy Defence Association conference. And I'm hopeful that I'll get to meet you that day. Actually, we're I'm heading down there. So could you, without giving the game away, could you give a little bit of a hint around some of the work you currently do, and maybe a little bit about why you've been invited to speak at the PDA conference?
Sure. So I think your listeners already got a little bit of a hint to what I'll be talking about in my first presentation, which is basically pharmacy models in the United States. And so I'll be talking about some of the innovative practice models that have kind of begun to arise in the United States. On the other topic, which is more in the afternoon, talking about basically ad campaigns to improve the perception of pharmacists. You know, this is kind of based on my longstanding work since I was a graduate student back in the early 2000s, looking at consumers' perception of pharmacists. Because at the time, I was really interested in why more patients weren't latching on and accepting offers of medication therapy management or pharmaceutical care or whatever the term you want to use. And so I did research to find out exactly what they thought of pharmacists. And I'm sure it's possible that even in UK, you guys have heard of the Gallup poll that's done every year, you know, where pharmacists were the most trusted professional that was asked about. And so many people had the question, why, if we're so trusted by American consumers, are they not taking advantage of these patient care services that we have? So I'll talk a little bit about that and what I found as to the reasons why there was kind of a disconnect. And then also a little bit about a couple of ad campaigns that I've been a part of here in the United States. One with the collaboration between the American Pharmacists Association and several other stakeholder groups looking to change the image of pharmacists, mostly directed towards our legislators, our members of Congress and the Senate, I guess on your side, it would be Parliament. And then another campaign that's being led by the American Association of Colleges of Pharmacy, which is again looking to improve the perception of the career of pharmacy in terms of trying to encourage more youth to pursue pharmacy as a career as opposed to other health professions. So yeah, so I'll be kind of given the lay of the land of what's going on in pharmacy within the United States, and then trying to help the PDA, because I believe they're trying to start a similar campaign to the public to try and improve their perception of pharmacists and improve patients' view of the value of pharmacists in the UK.
Superb, yeah. It's been, I guess that's been tried quite a few times, but I'm not sure we've actually found the answer or found how to articulate it properly. So really, mm-hmm. really interested in your thoughts and ideas around that. One of my friends, I'm going to give him a shameless plug here, Gavin Birchall at mm-hmm. Dose Design. If you're ever needing any branding done for your pharmacy, Professor Brown, give him a call. He asked a very profound question recently, and I'm going to ask you,
mm-hmm.
what is a pharmacist?
What is a pharmacist? So if you had to explain to a person that didn't know what a pharmacist was, how would you describe them?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a very good question. It's a complex question. And if I were to put it in a nutshell, I would say a pharmacist is the health professional in society that is entrusted in keeping patients safe during the medication use process. Everything that pharmacists do, regardless of what practice setting they're in, at the core of it is patient safety, whether it's in the dispensing area of community pharmacy, whether it's in the hospital, whether it's in the government and dealing with formulary design. What's at the core of what a pharmacist does is keeping patients safe when they're taking medication or preventing them from taking dangerous medications.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I always think of pharmacists as a, to use a soccer analogy, the goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. So we're the last line of defense. But but that's not to say that a goalkeeper can't also be a good defender, or there may well be some goalkeepers that are very good strikers.
Mm-hmm.
But predominantly, we're the last line of defense. We're always, I like that notion of safety and being proud to be that person in the chain, because I actually don't think where medication is concerned, any other profession has the same level of laser-like focus, really. The interesting thing, of course, is how we take that off the page or you know, and articulate it, really. So no, thank you very much. I don't want to probe your thoughts or ideas any further around what you're going to speak about, but just to say thank you so much. I know you're going to be coming all the way from California, so I know I'm sure the team at the PDA are all extremely grateful that you're coming, and myself and many others are very, very interested to go along and hear you, and hopefully meet you, and possibly even get a pint or two at the charity awards. Meeting you.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be coming out. So take care and look forward to seeing you then.
Very good. Thank you for taking the time. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.